Joyful Manifestation is being broadcast live on iHeart, iTunes, and many, many other stations.
This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show, the High Vibration Show. Welcome back. We have here today Melissa Tittle, an amazing person who is creating film that actually matters. She is someone who is laying down the path for a fantastic future, because she took an interest in bringing what reality is, what reality actually is, to the people around the world. And she's making waves as she's doing it. Melissa, are you here?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me on this show and being able to talk about all this amazing stuff.
So, Melissa, what made you get interested in putting this in front of people? And actually, people normally dream about these things. I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to do this one day. But you actually went there and made this happen. And how did you manage this? And what made you interested in making film about these topics?
Well, most of the topics that I do are anything that allows the human mind to think outside the box. That's what I like to really, because I do so many avenues, right? Like, I've done stuff on the possibility of aliens. I've done stuff on meditation, which we're going to talk about. And I've talked about esoteric knowledge and new discoveries in science and new discoveries in archaeology, ancient civilizations. And all of this is so important because I think we all, on a very deep level, understand that there's something not working. And however you come to that conclusion and however you process that, it is universal. It is a universal thought process that all humans have in some capacity. And so my job as a filmmaker is to offer alternative ways of looking at the universe so that we can understand our place in it and how powerful we are as humans on this planet.
We've had movies such as The Secret, What the Bleep Do We Know? And those movies resonated with people because finally they could understand what was happening. Have you watched those movies? Are there any movies that you can mention that inspired you? And how did you come up with this whole movie process of making something about reality, which is something that people don't really understand?
That's a good question. So this movie, Source, was a blessing. I think that the idea of meditation is something now that everyone's talking about. It's like you said, it's reality. It's now. I don't think you can go anywhere in the world without somebody mentioning meditation and inner calmness and all of these terms. But I don't think that we understand the power of not only meditation, but our thoughts and how that those things turn into what we are. Everything from our bodies to our existence with stuff, right? Like, so our only understanding of what exists in our world is our 3D reality of the actual material world around us. But we are in control of all of that. And we are in control of what's happening with our bodies, with our minds, with our voice. And this film is based on Dr. Joe's work that he does, Dr. Joe Dispenza, with meditation. He's been practicing meditation. He's been teaching meditation for many, many years. He's written several books about it, and he teaches people how to do it in a process that kind of strips away all of the spiritual religious aspects of any meditation practice, right? Just kind of offering a deeper meditation without anything else. And when he had asked me to be part of this documentary, I was so honored, because I knew this was the first time that he was going to come out with a documentary, that he was going to really try to get people to understand what happens when you meditate on a scientific level. And there's been lots of documentaries that really talk about, you mentioned The Secret. The Secret was kind of like, let us dive into the possibility that this might be happening. And there's been lots of other documentaries that have analyzed our brainwaves and kind of shown that there's something happening, something almost, it feels supernatural is happening, but it can be kind of collected as data into a scientific process. But this is the first time in this movie where we're collecting data on everything that is happening in your body when you're meditating. And it's pretty groundbreaking. We have the idea of what could be happening in your cells, what could be happening in your blood, your microbiome, yes, your brain waves, and how all that correlates together with your existence, your thoughts, and then, of course, your 3D reality that you live in every day, where you're interacting with other humans, where you're existing in on a daily basis. And this documentary, this process of making this documentary, well, the concept sounds good, right? But then when you actually get into making it, there's a couple things that you have to do. You have to really get into the human stories. You've got to understand these people's testimonials. You have to use them as a way to communicate the humanity of these transformations happening to people. But at the same time, you've got to create a film that then dives into the scientific process and not leaving one out or the other. Meaning, sometimes when we create a film where we're only focused on the human stories, we neglect the scientific process. The same thing if you make a documentary where you're only focused on the scientific process, you neglect the human connection. So the perfect balance of bringing in the human connection to the scientific process and vice versa was so difficult. I mean, obviously rewarding. It's done. It's an awesome film. But of course, I'm biased. but the process of making a film, where you're honoring two different sets of thinking and getting the audience to understand that it's okay that if this is too scientific right now, because we're about to bring in the human element. And the same thing with the human, with the scientific process, that it was okay to hear someone's story that you not necessarily would believe, but you would back it up with data. And that dance, that perfect dance where you're able to do that is so difficult. But it is needed. It is needed because we are at a point where we are bridging spirituality and scientific process and science in general, because we are at that step now. I believe that we are, so many people have been asking the same questions over and over again about the idea of something that we don't quite understand. And it's time to merge that spirituality with the scientific process. And so in a sense, that big concept that a lot of people are trying to do, we really, as a filmmaker, really tried to bring those two elements into this film.
Melissa, the people who have been interviewed on the platform of your movie are people who are doctors, people who have done PhD, people who are amazingly accomplished in the scientific world, in the medical world, and you brought them in to talk about this. That must have been quite a manhunt for you, or a woman hunt, getting these people on board and having them share their experiences or their information. And of course, you know, when they talk, then people listen. when they talk, people listen. And you've done the right thing by bringing in the spirituality part of it and then bringing in the scientific people who can back their words with research and information. And yes, then people sit up and they notice. It's just not woo-woo. You know the word, right? And so how did you find these people? Or I want to add on to the next question right now itself. How did you persuade them to come on their intention to help the world? What is it?
So what's unique about this documentary is that I'm not trying to bring in a bunch of people to talk about meditation. A lot of documentaries have done that. What's unique about this documentary is that we are uncovering what is happening at these retreats. And we're using the retreats as a way to dive into what is being discovered. So the scientists, at the point of me getting involved with the idea of creating a film around their scientific study, at this point, we're already working around the concept of this retreat. These were PhDs and doctors that were interested in what meditation was doing on a stress level, on a pain level. They were both very invested in that in their career, and they wanted to do a study about it. But they weren't attached to the retreat. They weren't attached to the meditation process. They weren't involved in any of that. But they did decide that this was a good venue, and I'll use that word venue, for the study, because the way that the retreat is run is like a pharmaceutical setup. They could control what people are eating, when they were sleeping, how much time they were meditating, how much time they weren't meditating. They had enough controls in the study that they could then, you know, counter what was happening to the people meditating versus what was happening to the people not meditating. So in a way, a lot of these alternative practices don't necessarily have a pharmaceutical setup. So when you study the effects of acupuncture, you necessarily don't have a pharmaceutical setup where science can then observe, is this happening over and over again? It's usually in, I feel better, this happened and this happened. But in the process of creating scientific data, you need to be able to control how it's happening so that you know that your subject is then changing or not changing, or, you know, all of that. So in this process, in this film, I'm not necessarily trying to convince different doctors to come on and be part of this documentary. I am a fly on the wall observing two things happening. There's a retreat happening, and there's a scientific group from UCSD that has taken interest in the fact that they can maybe for the first time get some evidence that could scientifically be proven what is happening when you meditate. And these are two different groups. You know, in a traditional documentary, you have an idea and you go and you shoot some interviews and you try to formulate what that idea is. But here I'm observing these two groups. So in a sense, we have the science group and we have the spirituality group. Spirituality group is over doing this. Science group is doing over this. Now, when I got to interviewing the scientific team, they were very apprehensive because they are a group of people, the way that they process things, and definitely for their career, they have to be very objective. They can't just say amazing things on camera. They have to make sure that it's backed up with their paper, it's backed up with their evidence. They don't want a producer, director kind of nudging them into saying something exciting. So there was a lot of apprehension of what kind of questions I was going to ask. You know, where was I going to lead them? But my approach is basically a fly on the wall. I'm there to observe. There's a scientific team studying a spirituality retreat, and I am an observer of both. And so there were some really monumental things, because the scientific team did not go into this thinking that they were going to find anything. because really the data that's been gathered thus far on meditation, there's been a lot, but it hasn't been in this quantity where they can measure it. But they weren't really, they're kind of like, okay, let's try this. Let's see what happens. Let's see what kind of data we gather, type of thing. And their evolution throughout this film of being kind of like, meh, you know, I don't know if this is real. And, you know, this is just people coming up with this stuff. You know, it's people wanting to, you know, take the sugar pill, if you will, type of attitude. To the end of the film, where this has become such a big thesis in their life, because it doesn't matter how they ask that question, they still get the same answer. Something monumental is happening to people when they get into a deep meditative state. And they are fascinated because they have asked it over and over and over again. They tried so many tests and the same conclusion keeps popping up. I don't want to give away the whole film. So I don't want to give away the ending, if you will, but I will say that in this process of making this film, it wasn't the fact that I had to go and find them and convince them. It was more that they were there, but it was through their process of their investigation that they convinced themselves that this was monumental. This is something's really happening to people when they meditate.
So the movie Source, where was it shown around the world? Where was this movie premiered? Anything you want to add?
So we had a premiere in Los Angeles that we had maybe like 100 some people there for that. And then the university, because, you know, this has become a big study. I mean, we have, when I say we, I shouldn't say we, I should say UCSD has, you know, has a space dedicated to this study at UCSD. So this is big for them. So we did a premiere at UCSD in their, it's kind of like a theater, like a Greek theater bowl type situation. It was beautiful. And we had like 2,500 people there. And the university was there actually. And I hope I'm saying this right. I think he was the chairman of the university. He said, he came out on stage and he said, I never thought that I would be at this moment in my life where I would be on the stage saying, spirituality and science are working together, to paraphrase his tiny little speech. And I thought, wow, what a monumental moment. The film also had a smaller premiere in Milan. And now we are about to release the film just because we, you know, there's been a lot of interest from some bigger networks, but I think what's really important for this film is that people are able to watch it and they're able to really think about their own human potential. So we are releasing it on a pay-to-play basis on sourcethefilm.org. On June 21st. So if anybody wants to watch it anywhere in the world, you can go to sourcethefilm.org. It starts June 21st. And the film, some meditations that go along with the film, they will all be there. I'm sure we'll be in many other places, but this is the start. This is the beginning. So people, we just want people to watch it. We want people to have their own thoughts about it. Like, wow, is that really possible? And if that's possible, what could be possible for me?
And Melissa, do you have any other documentary/movies that you would be interested in telling people about so that they can go and watch? Is there a place where they can watch your work? Look at it.
Right now, I have another movie called Code 12, which is about the idea that we might live in a simulation. It's based on some ancient codes that have been discovered, and those ancient codes lead to not only the idea of what the structure, how the structure is coded, if there is a simulation, and then what's the way out based on all these ancient texts and coding throughout the planet. You can watch that on Amazon, and you can also watch it at HathorStudios.com, which is our production company, and you can just do it on a pay-to-play basis, and you can do that anywhere in the world. You can watch it anywhere in the world.
Melissa, did you get anything from the scientific people and people from that background, anything that you feel is going to help move other people's minds in this world? Do you feel that others would take a different approach? When I say others, I mean other scientific groups, all of these groups that stood away and did not participate in many of the spiritual studies that have gone on. Do you think that your movie is going to pave the way for the world to really sit up and notice?
I would hope so. I mean, that would be the greatest honor to make a documentary where you're inviting people to know how powerful they are, is for people, for that to be, to break the 4-minute mile. And I would hope so. I mean, of course, I don't want to get ahead of myself as a filmmaker, but if that's what happens, that would be a dream of mine, to invite people to understand how powerful they are. And you know, another thing that I think should be a big takeaway from this film, and I know that Dr. Joe and his community, and also the scientific community, is that if all of this is true in this documentary, then do we need to start looking at our healthcare system a little bit differently? I'm not talking about getting rid of it. I'm saying that if what is discovered in here is true, then do we change the way that we look at healthcare? And I would hope that that conversation would start after watching this movie, because that is a conversation I believe that needs to happen, not just in America or the UK, but every country. What are some pieces that we need to incorporate in the way that we understand how the human body works?
And when they did this documentary, what was your role in it? Director, producer, what was your role in it? Bringing the whole team together, start to finish, making sure it just happens?
Oh my God, I played so many roles. In the documentary world, you do wear a lot of hats. You know, I used to be, at one point I was in the film world, right? Where there's like millions of people working on a film. But in the documentary world, you got a small crew. So I wore a lot of hats, you know, executive producer, director, writer. I hired the whole team. I got everybody together. I kept everything under budget. And then I was also the creative force behind it. And, you know, getting that group of people to be all on the same page and go in the same direction. I mean, you know, the best question that I always get, and I know it's confusing, is what does a producer do? I mean, what do they do? No one knows that. Everybody knows what the director does. People know what the writer does, and people know what the actor or the actress does, but nobody knows what a producer does. But I can say this on a documentary: the producer's really overseeing everything, making sure everything's going in line, whether it's the budget and the creative and the people and the goal of what we're trying to accomplish, and overseeing all the parts and the people. So I wore a lot of hats on this film. But I have to say, you don't do films by yourself. I have a great team. Also, the team at Inner Science, they film a lot of their events. They were super helpful with helping us find footage. Inner Science is the nonprofit that works directly with UCSD, which is a separate organization from the retreats. So I have to say, although I'm like the person running the show and doing all the stuff, doing all the organization, there's a great crew that worked on this, really inspired crew that got together and made this thing happen. And I just want to say thank you to all those people.
There are two parts to this, Melissa. One is the movie, the source that actually is going to send people a message. And then there's that other part that is you yourself. As a professional in your career, what is it that you wish to achieve going beyond source?
Wow, that's a big question. I want to create more conscious content. I just want to continue the train. I want to create a legacy that isn't tied to a certain organization that represents anything else but conscious programming, allowing people a safe space to think differently. And I believe that's really what Hathor Studios represents. There's always people who ask me, like, why is it called Hathor Studios? No, I don't necessarily think I'm a goddess. Hathor, if no one knows what Hathor is one of the oldest goddesses in Egypt, and she is represented by the Temple of Dendera in Egypt. But she also is an old frequency, an old existence on this planet that I feel like we have lost. And my goal as a filmmaker and as the owner of this studio, Hathor Studios, my goal is to create more content that brings back that essence that I think we all have. We've just lost the ability to be in touch with it. And work like Dr. Joe and what he's doing, and some of the other people I'm working with, and some of the other concepts that I'm working on getting out there, I think are really supporting that. Like, let's remember what we've decided to lose and bring it back and really know what our human potential is. Because the goal is to become part of the community we all want to be part of. Everybody always wants to talk about community, but what is the community that we want to be part of? What is the thing that we're trying to build? What is the thing we're trying to go back to? People talk about that all the time. Whatever that is, we have to build it together. And I'm not sure if we can do that unless we can see the universe a little bit differently. And so bringing that essence of a new way of looking at things, we can build the community that we want to be part of. And I guess wherever that takes me as a filmmaker to help people get to that in their mind, their body, their soul, that's my goal. That's the goal of Hathor Studios.
It's to bring the community together, to take people forward, but in a nice way, in a good way, rather than how the rest of the world, some parts of the world, are taking people forward to be isolated, isolated units.
Yeah.
Can I say battling for themselves, survival,
It's
all
fear.
these isolated elements? What do you
It's all
think?
fear-based. It's all fear-based. And this documentary is really important no matter what your meditation practice is. And I believe that whatever your practice is and you're doing it and you feel that you feel better, good. You should keep doing it. You should, whatever your process is to get to who you are, amazing. But I can tell you one thing that I felt for the first time in my entire life was I've been shooting this documentary. I told the Dr. Joe people that I wasn't going to do a full retreat until I'd finished the documentary. And the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted to make sure as a journalist that I was always in the middle. I was re representing the human journey that I was watching, and I was also representing the science. And I wasn't getting caught up in the fact that maybe I fell in love with something, right? I really wanted to be objective, and I feel like that's important in filmmaking. So I waited till after the film was done, and I did a whole retreat. And the retreat's like about 7 days, and you sit through, it's just hours and hours of meditation, and then lectures, and then you go eat, and then you come back, and it's not like a silent retreat or anything like that. It's like, it's fun, but it's a lot of hours sitting there and going through your stuff. So I would say day four, this is day four, I had this feeling that came over me. And maybe it's because I got into a deeper place of meditation and my heart opened up, but everybody's heart in that 2,000 room conference room must have opened up, because what I felt was not love. Love is a byproduct of safety. And for the first time in my life, and I don't think I live that dangerous of a life that I should feel safe. But this was the first time in my life that I felt safe. And I had never felt what that felt like to be safe. And because I felt safe, my heart opened up even more. And it was at that moment that I thought, this is what the world is missing. It's not just love. Like, you know, we need more love. We need safety. The feeling that it's okay for you to be is the most important thing. And how we get there, I think, is by allowing ourselves and other people to open up that heart space. And of course, that gets into this idea of love, but safety, it's so important. And that's the community we all want to be part of. It doesn't matter who you talk to, no matter if they've never meditated or they're an avid meditator, they want to feel what that feels like. That is the goal. That is the community we want to be part of. And I hope that any of you listening on this call will be able to feel what that feels like, because that I will never forget that feeling. And you know, the thing is, you go out in the community and you're like, I want to bring that. I want to bring that. I want to bring that to people. They need to know that. They need to build that. We need to build that together. But there's so many people living in fear. The frequency of the planet is this dense, fearful state. Even if you're kind and you're nice, you're still living in fear that someone might take advantage of you or hurt you. And those are the things that we don't pay attention to. We think, okay, well, I meditated today and I did my thing. Everything's going to be fine. But inside, you're living in the same fear base that's driving the whole world into the state of being right now. And I don't have all the answers. I'm just saying that as somebody who's always plays the fly on the wall as the journalist, that was really monumental for me. It wasn't that I found more love. I think that we all know what love is in some capacity, but safety, that is the goal for us as a human race.
Melissa, when you were in the retreat, you probably shifted. Something in you shifted, something in your energy system shifted, allowing yourself to get a hold of a reality where safety does exist, because this is a joyful manifestation show and we have the good fortune show and we bring to people endeavor to bring to people there are energies of joyful manifestation. And I'm the author of Joyful Manifestation, the book and the process. And we here try to help people shift into an energy where there is this joyful manifestation energy running, where good fortune energy runs. So you probably hit one of these energy lines and you probably got into a place where this actually does exist. But it's just that the rest of the world or much of it does not know that it exists. And so first, even to get into it, you have to know that it exists, that, oh, maybe there's something like this out there. Melissa, and would you say that Source brings this to people, or at least gets them to a place to understand that something different does exist? What is your opinion? What is your take?
100%. That there is something so much different than you've been brainwashed to think about, to know, to understand, that the terms that we use, like you said, joy and love, like there's just such a level of understanding that I think that everyone would be interested in if they knew that there was something beyond the word, right? Like this, like you were saying, this kind of intensity, this shift. And what I'm inviting people to understand in the documentary or from the documentary is that I'm really keeping it grounded in the reality that we live in, so that you understand that when you're watching it, we don't have to go to faraway places. We don't need to float off into some place to have utopia, that there's something right here inside of us that is just ready to be tapped into. And we are trying to prove that scientifically. And that is amazing. That's amazing.
The spark within is giving out great positive energy. When people meditate, they're able to connect to who they truly are, the God self, the inner self, the soul, the one that can lend its healing hand to the person that it occupies. And when people meditate, they're able to somehow get in touch with that place. And then that brings in so much well-being and goodness. And would you say that your studio, the place that you make movies from, whether it's the physical place, whether it's your mental space, whether it's your emotional space, the whole purpose is to bring this sense of well-being?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely a sense of well-being. Definitely a sense of, I think well-being is just the beginning. I think if you can get to the point of well-being, oh, what you can create from that would be epic. I look at the world and I think, we just don't know how the universe works. We don't know how it works with ourselves. We don't know how it works out there. And we are living in a place of so much potential, so much abundance. And to get to the place of well-being is like the start of the race. Once you get there, what could you create? What could you be? How healthy would you be? Where would you be? What would you be saying? How would you help the people around you? What would that look like? I think that at Hathor Studios, we are definitely, that is our goal. Get people to the place where they understand what their well-being is. There isn't just one well-being. There's what's well-being for you as a listener, and it's individual. And if Hathor Studios can create content that gets you to that place that you feel, oh, I understand myself a little bit better, you can go out and change the world. You can become part of whatever you're building. And that is amazing. That is the goal of Hathor Studios. I don't have the answers. I feel that, like, as somebody who's running this studio and creating the content, I feel in a way that I'm channeling things that are supposed to reach other people. And then how they reach it is what's important to them and what they create from there. And if I can reach them on a deep level that ignites something original in them, that's the whole goal. That is definitely the goal for me, for Hathor Studios. And blindly, I actually don't even know what that is. I'm just kind of following my own intuition of the things that I'm supposed to be doing to help other people figure out who they are.
What is the connection of Canada and France? Because is it that it's going to be shown there, or because I read something somewhere, is it the movie, is it Source, or is it something else that is going to be shown in Canada and France? Because I just read it somewhere and I just want you to help me get it.
I don't know what you read. Maybe I'm not in the loop. Maybe it's like a mystery showing. So on June 21st, if you go to www.sourcethefilm.org, you can access it from Canada or France, any country. We will be launching Source, the movie Source, It's Within You, on this platform. And it will be free for 24 to 48 hours, where you can log on and watch the movie for free. And then after that, it's a pay-to-play basis, and it can be accessed in Canada and France. Sometime in September, we will be translating it into about 16 languages, and it will be in French, and it will be launched on a platform there in France. And as far as Canada, Canada is an English-speaking country, so you'll still be going to sourcethefilm.org to watch the movie. But the most important thing is that we get it to as many people as possible. But any of you anywhere listening to this, no matter where you are at, on June 21st, it will be happening. You will be able to watch the movie. And you will be able to watch the movie in French sometime in September. We haven't picked the actual date yet, launching on a platform that I cannot release yet.
So this show is aired all around the world. There are 130 to 150 sister stations that air it at the same time live, and then it becomes a podcast that is accessed by thousands of people every day, thousands of downloads every day, actually. And so there are people around the world who is watching this, who is listening to this, who will be watching it, who will be listening to it. So as an international platform, which is what I would say it is now, what would you like to say to people around the world? Do you feel that they could all help in some way? What I mean is, if someone around the world wants, anywhere around the world, wants to contact you, wants to maybe make another documentary with you, a movie with you, is there some way that anybody around the world could contact you?
Oh, God, that would be amazing. I would love to hear from anybody. You could definitely go to our site, www.hathorstudios.com, and there's a contact section. But I will give you my email. It's really easy. My name, Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at hathorstudios.com. That's pretty easy. You can reach out to me at any time. We are always developing new content. Behind me is a movie poster of something that we're pitching right now. I am open to hear from anybody and to anybody who would love to support Hathor Studios and our mission. You can reach out to me directly. You can reach out to our site, hathorstudios.com. And I would love to speak with you. Even if you want to reach out and you want to talk about the movie Source or anything else, I'm really open. This is about community. This is about connection. And if you are really interested in some of the content that we're doing and some of the things that you're interested in, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you as somebody who's really interested in what's happening in the world.
Mutation has also changed crime rates in New York. People have done studies about that. So did you do any research into all of this before you actually got into making this movie? Anything that you know about?
Yes, I've definitely, I've read about, there's been a lot of studies that they've done in inner cities where they've had a certain group of people that are meditating, and HeartMath does a lot of these studies. If anybody knows who HeartMath is, they take communities and they measure the frequencies based on meditation and how they change and how people change because of different mass meditation groups. Now, I knew a lot about that before this film, but that really wasn't the focus of the film. The focus of this film was very micro, right? It was very like, okay, this is meditation. Is there something happening to these people? And then scientifically proving it. But that would be the next step, right? To study those group studies that they have on a scientific level. Like, wouldn't it be interesting? Because they've done this a lot. They've done this, a lot of this group meditation. Wouldn't it be interesting not only to measure the frequency of that area and how it changes, but people in that community that are a byproduct of the positivity from a scientific level, like even down to like what's happening with their cells because other people are meditating in their neighborhood. I would love to know that. And if you think about what we did at Source on a micro level, we did that with individuals at a meditation retreat. But if you could do that on a macro level in a situation like that and be able to test it, that would be amazing too, because you're taking people out of a set zone and you're really studying their byproduct of people around them being positive.
And Melissa, the movie Source, what made you name it Source?
Oh my God. By the way, you go through so many names. I remember putting together the pitch deck of this movie, and I think I called it Demystify or something like that. And somebody on the team was like, I really hate this name. And I'm like, please don't worry. I can never come up with the name of a movie until I'm in the last version of the edit. Because the the movie speaks to me and tells me, once you create something like a movie, it's its own little entity. It's its own, it's like you birthed something, you birthed another child of yours, right? And it's at that moment where you can come up with all the names you want, but then when the child's born, you're like, nope, it needs to be called this. And for some reason that just came to me as we were editing it. I mean, because what is really what we're talking about here? Whether we're talking about it scientifically or spiritually, we're talking about the source of all of this. And I thought that needs to be the name of the movie.
Do you feel that your scientific research group, the scientific people who supported you on this, really understood what source is? Or is it that they came in and they were very practically measuring things, monitoring things, giving you some feedback? Or did they really understand what source really is as we went into this venture?
No, I don't think they knew what source was. I don't think they were concerned about figuring out what source was. It wasn't the point of their scientific study. In scientific studies, it's about the question you ask. So you're focused on, and the first question they asked was, could there be anything measurable that could be happening to these people when they meditate, right? So, I think that they're so surprised with what's happening that the idea that they're quantifying source is still too big. It's still too big to say, they're quantifying a change, and how that change happens, they're quantifying even more. And eventually they will get to the point that maybe it's source, but to say that they knew what source was, the idea of them quantifying, they're just, it's not, that's the spiritual side of it, right? It's so funny how we as humans do everything in our power to avoid the obvious. And that's okay. That's the process, right? That's, how many times do you hear somebody say, oh, it was right in front of me all along. It's like source is right there. It's right there. We even have a tagline for the movie, source, it's within you, right? So it's always there. It's the idea of tapping into it. And then you have a scientific community just trying to quantify the other 3D realities that we live in, because that's what they're trained to do. So
a fantastic, a beautiful mystical side also. And it looks like you brought that side to this movie, and you got, because everybody needs facts and figures before they believe, you brought the other side, which is the practical side, the measuring side, the people who could actually give you results of their studies to this. You brought the two together and you gave the world something as amazing as source, the movie, the documentary. You brought these two together, and like the producer, you brought everything together to make it work as a whole, to give this world a product that people can finally understand. And we are so honored that you did all of this hard work. Others can sit around and, sit back and watch, but at least we would encourage this audience and everybody who's listening to go social about this, go viral about this, talk about this, bring this to other people, let people know, because Melissa Tittle here has done the work. She brought all of the different aspects to make this movie/documentary source. She did all the work, but the least we can do is to watch it and to talk about it and to spread it around, because we all have a little part in all of this. And while she did all the brain work, she did the leg work, she did all of this, if what we can do is to watch it and then talk about it and to let people know that, oh my God, you know, we can all finally come together on a common platform, the practical scientific world and the spiritual, mystical side. It can all work together to show that all of this really exists and that if the spiritual side and the, you know, scientific side work together, they can achieve amazing results. Melissa, any viewpoint that you have, anything you want to share to people, because we are approaching the end of the show and we want you to, you know, have your say.
Oh God, we covered so much. I just want to say I feel so honored to be on this journey and to be able to channel these messages through my abilities, TV, film producer, director, writer. And I really encourage you, whether you want to believe what we talked about in this radio show, or you think it's all hogwash, whatever you think, I would love for you to watch the movie and just take it in, take the scientific stuff and take in the testimonials. Maybe at the end, you still think it's all wrong or whatever, but at least it's a pragmatic view on what could be happening to you in your meditating. And meditation is a common thing now. Meditation is a popular thing. So why not just take a look at it, you know, and especially June 21st, we're offering it for free to check it out. So we believe in the film so much that that's why we're offering it for free, because we want people to have the opportunity that weekend to get in touch with who they are and possibly what their human potential is. And my last thing is, I really believe that we are at a precipice right now as a human species, and we all feel it. And meditation definitely plays a part in that. But the way that we look at the world, the way that we think, the way that we think about each other, the way we build communities, this all is changing, whether we want it to change or not. And I think that this work gets us to that faster. Because right now, I think everybody, no matter where you are in the world, feels a little bit like things are chaotic. And the way to get through chaos is to go within. And I think if there's any tools that you can gather, that you can learn about, and like I said before, how the universe works, how the universe really works with us, with everything else, the more that we can learn, the faster we're going to get through this chaotic part. We're going to build that community that we want to be part of. And so I just invite you to take a look at this source at sourcethefilm.org, June 21st. And you can also check out Code 12 at www.hathorstudios.com. And I guess my final message is, I'm just so happy that we get to have these conversations, that we're all interested in what's next and who we really are.
Yes, and people who listen to the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show all around the world are very, very interested with this side of the world, this aspect, the esoteric aspect that we bring to them, which is very, very connected with physical reality. It's all energy vibrating. And what are our energy that we're sending out and we're projecting? So when we're meditating, we go into a place and then we're projecting energy in a certain way that is going to bring back really, really good results. And this is what the movie Source, the documentary Source, wants to show people. And, you know, let's go watch it. And it's free for a little bit, right? You said 24 to 48 hours? Mm-hmm. And then it's pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's pay-per-view. And then also there's some meditations that go along with the documentary that you can also purchase with the documentary on June 21st or after, which is pretty cool. So, you know, you watch the movie, you're like, okay, maybe I'll try some meditations. They're all there. So, again, it's just more tools to be able to get in within you. It's the source within you, the human potential that we all have.
And everybody here is a very powerful, powerful machine. everyone here is extremely powerful, and this movie documentary source will help you, will help show you that. This is Sugandhi Iyer. We're at the end of a show, and we're going to be signing off. We will meet again next week, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for the Good Fortune Show. Until then, I want to wish you a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day. We want to take this time to thank Melissa for coming here and talking to us. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Joyful Manifestation Show is now broadcasting live on over 100 digital stations. These stations include 24 foreign stations in over 13 countries and social media websites, which include Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can hear us live on iTunes, Spreaker, LA Radio FM, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, AHA Radio, and more. And you can always catch the podcast for the Joyful Manifestation Show on iHeartRadio, among others. Joyful Manifestation Show is heard all over the world. We'll take you where you want to go.